He says, "Where did you get this chicken?" When he asks that question, they see that something is wrong. He doesn't trust where they get the chicken. He doesn't trust the kashrus. They said, from the sheikhet. For years and years, we're very careful to get the chicken from a very, very good sheikhet. We know him. He has Yerushamayim. Everyone trusts him. He's the best sheikhet around. And we got the chicken from him. And they thought Rabbi Hillel was going to go in to eat. And again, he lifts up the chicken to his mouth and he puts it down and he says again, "Where did you get this chicken?" "We just told you." He says, "But where did you get the chicken? How did you get it? Who brought it here?" He says, "Well, we have a goy. He works for us. He does different jobs around the house and he goes and does things for us. And he goes to the sheikhet and he brings back the chickens. And it's wrapped up in a certain way. And we know it came from the sheikhet because the sheikhet wraps a certain way. And he has a certain mark on his wrapping. And that means it's from the sheikhet." Reb Hillel says, "Where's the goy?" "He's in the yard." Reb Hillel gets up from the table. He goes out in the yard and he finds the goy. He looks him in the eyes. "Where did you get the chicken that you brought for the meal?" The goy says, "Well, what do you mean? I go to the town, I go to the sheikhet, I get the chicken and I bring it back. For years I'm doing the same thing all the time. I bring the chickens." Reb Hillel looks at him again, and this time he stares at him in the eyes very strongly, and he says, "Where did you get that chicken? Tell me the truth." And the goy starts to shake. He says, "What's the big deal? It's the chicken. I got the chicken." Reb Hillel says, "You tell me exactly where you got the chicken that the people are eating inside the house now." The goy said, "Look, it's a very hot day. The town, it takes about 20 minutes to walk there. I told myself, look, why do I have to go all the way to the town for the same chicken that's running around here on the farm? And I have to get so hot, and I have to take my time. So what did I do? I pretended that I'm going to the town. Instead, I went around the other side of the barn, and I caught a chicken that was running around. And I killed it myself, and I pulled out of all his feathers, and I fixed him up just like the sheikhet does. It looks just the same. And I got some of the old wrappings from other times that we got the chicken, and I wrapped it up so it looked exactly like I'd gone to the town. And now I had an extra hour and a half on my hands. I took a nice nap in the shade. So I saved myself the bother, and I came back and I gave them the chicken. And, you know, it looks the same. It's the same chicken like the sheikhet has. So I saved myself the trouble. Why should I go in this hot day to the town? I took a nap. Aha! What had happened? The goy didn't understand, but this chicken was treif. It's the same chicken, fine, but it was not shechted in a kosher shechita. And unless it's shechted by a sheikhet in the kosher way, it's treif. You're not allowed to eat it. Now, when everybody found that out, of course, they felt very bad. They had eaten this chicken. And of course, they threw out all the food. And all the dishes had to be thrown out that couldn't be kashered. Then they had to kasher everything that was metal that they could kasher. And a gan samaiser. But then they had the question, "Reb Hillel, how did you know? How did Reb Hillel know that there was a shayla on the chicken? When it's cooked already on the plate, it certainly doesn't look any different than other kinds of chicken. How did Reb Hillel know?" Reb Hillel said, "This is how I knew. As I was eating, I was thinking over in my mind certain dinim in Shulchan Aruch. Because I was now, at that time, learning certain things in Shulchan Aruch. And I was thinking over in my mind what I was learning. Like, what does a Talmud Chacham do? He's always thinking Torah. He never takes how many steps without thinking Torah? Four steps. He does not walk Dalad Amos without thinking Torah. This is a Talmud Chacham, a real Ben Torah. He's like a walking Sefer Torah, a Sefer Torah with feet. Now, when he's eating also, when Reb Hillel eats, he thinks Torah. Reb Hillel says, I was thinking over Torah. And I started to eat. As I picked up the chicken close to my mouth, all of a sudden, I started thinking a completely different thing in Torah. I started thinking about all the halachas of treif and kosher and shilas. And I said, wait a minute, I wasn't thinking about this. Usually Reb Hillel ate something. I'll tell you, he didn't even know what he was eating. A real tzaddik in halach. And Reb Hillel, they say he was half a tzaddik. He was almost a complete tzaddik. He was a chassid and a tzaddik. A real tzaddik, he doesn't even know sometimes what he's eating. He doesn't care, because his mind is in Torah. Like they say the Alter Rebbe one time, it's a story within a story now. It happened when, by the Alter Rebbe, Levi Yitzchak HaBedichev came to him for Shabbos. So now, the Alter Rebbe and Levi Yitzchak HaBedichev are going to sit together on Shabbos, they're going to eat together, they're going to speak Torah together, they're going to sing together. Everyone is so excited. Now, in the kitchen, the cook, there was a cook in the Alter Rebbe's house. She was making the chicken soup. And she was so excited, you know, to make everything extra special for the Shabbos, that not only the Alter Rebbe, that's also special, of course, but the guest, the Levi Yitzchak HaBedichev, is coming. She left the kitchen to get something, and someone else came into the kitchen from the house. And this person also, they said, I want to do something to get ready for Shabbos, the special Shabbos. What can I do to help that I should have the schus of doing something for these two tzaddikim? You know what I'll do? I'll put some salt in the soup. And that way I'll do a little thing to help for Shabbos. They went to the soup, they put in salt. And they left. After a while, somebody else came into the kitchen. One of the other members of the family. They also said, "Oi, tonight Levi Yitzchak HaBedichev is coming together with the Alter Rebbe. I want to do something to get the food ready for Shabbos. What should I do?" "I'll put salt in the soup." They went, they put salt in the soup. The cook came back and she put salt in the soup without tasting the soup. And she went out and a few other people came and put salt in the soup. Everybody put salt in the soup. That night when it came to eating the chicken soup, people started eating. They couldn't eat it. It tasted like the ocean. It tasted like 10 times the ocean. It was so full of salt. They couldn't eat it. And the Alter Rebbe was the only one by the table. He was sitting there and eating the chicken soup. And he saw nobody else was eating the chicken soup. A little bit different than the other story. So he says, "What's wrong? Why aren't you eating?" He said, "The taste." The Alter Rebbe says, "Well, maybe it needs some salt." He said, "Maybe it needs salt. Because the Alter Rebbe did not taste if it's salty or not salty or what it tastes like. His mind is into Shabbos and into Torah, and he doesn't even think about what it tastes like. This is a real tzaddik." Now back to the other story. Reb Hillel, he was thinking one thing, and all of a sudden these other shilas and other things and halachas come into his head about treif and about kosher. He says, "Why am I all of a sudden thinking these things?" And he put down the fork. As soon as he put down the fork, his mind and his thinking went back to the other part of the Torah. No problem. And nothing else mishterayin. Okay, I'm thinking the other thing now. He starts thinking through the other thing. He picks up the fork to his mouth. As soon as the chicken came near his mouth, all of a sudden, again, all of these other things came into his head from different parts of the Torah, about treif, about shilas, about not kosher things. And every time he lifted up his fork, this is what happened. He realized there's something wrong. And that's how he found out there was really something wrong. Now, what do we learn out from this story? If we would really be in control and really feeling and thinking what we're doing, there are certain warning signals that Hashem sends out that we would think over, or we would feel that what's about to happen is not right and we're not going to do it. We would think over, we should not do this. If a person sometimes is a little bit more patient and a little bit more careful about their doing, they figure out, "Oi, this is something I shouldn't do," instead of running to do something without thinking. If we just think a little bit more, should I do this, should I not do that? They're more careful, they would not do an Aveda even by accident. Why is it that Chas V'Shalom, a person does an Aveda by accident? Because they rush to do a thing without really thinking and feeling what they're doing. Now, after the Baal Shem Tov passed away, the Magid became the Rebbe, the Mezritch Magid, and the Alter Rebbe learned by the Magid of Mezritch. Now, one morning, the Alter Rebbe was up very, very early in the morning to get ready to learn Torah and to do mitzvahs and to daven. And the Alter Rebbe happened to look out the window, out in the street. It was just getting light, a little bit of light outside. And he saw somebody passing by, somebody was walking. And he noticed that it was the Magid. The Mezritch Magid was up so early in the morning. And the Alter Rebbe was curious as to where the Magid is going. And he looked out the window. He thinks maybe the Magid is going to shul so early. But the Magid passed by the shul. He didn't go into the shul. And then the Alter Rebbe said, probably he's going to the mikveh. Because the Alter Rebbe and the Magid and the Chassidim, they used to go to the mikveh before davening. Every single day, to make themselves very halik for davening. But the Magid passed by the mikveh. Well, maybe he's going into a house. Maybe, who knows, you know, there are different mitzvahs people do in secret to help people, even before davening. There's many mises about Av Yisrael and helping people before davening if they need help. Sometimes they can't wait till after davening. But the Magid went past all of the houses. Magid had passed by all the houses, and now he was going into the forest. Oh, the Alter Rebbe was very curious. What's going on? What's he going to do out in the forest so early in the morning? And the Alter Rebbe decided to follow the Magid. Not just Chas V'Shalom, he's snooping and he's looking to see. I mean, he wants to learn from every... See, one thing is to be nosy, to look to see what somebody's doing when it's none of your business. This is not even allowed according to Torah. There's many dinim about, are you allowed to look into somebody's window? Are you allowed to look and see what they're doing? You have to respect their privacy. You're not supposed to look where you're not supposed to look, or when you're not supposed to look. That's one thing. But another thing is that a student who knows that his Rebbe is very halik, so he knows that everything that his Rebbe does, every little movement, teaches him something in Torah about Hashem in mitzvahs, especially by a halik at tzaddik. And the Alter Rebbe knew that the Magid was a halik at tzaddik, and every little tiny thing that he does is something of a lesson in avodas Hashem and serving Hashem. So the Alter Rebbe only wanted to go to learn about Hashem from his Rebbe. And so he went out in the forest and he followed the Magid into the forest. He went off the road, through the trees, through the bushes, until he came to a river. And the Magid went down to the river and he sat down on a rock next to the river. The Alter Rebbe thought, maybe he's going to take out a sefer and start learning, or maybe say Tehillim. The Magid did not take out a sefer. He did not take out a Tehillim. He sat there, and he was looking out into space, or through the trees. He wasn't looking into a sefer or anything, he was just looking, but he was listening. It's like he was listening to something. His mouth wasn't moving, he wasn't saying anything Baal Peh. Like he was listening, and he sat there for a while. He got up and he went back. Then he went to the mikveh and he went to the shul to daven or to learn Hasidus and all the things that they used to do there. Well, Kinalach, the Alter Rebbe was very curious to see if this would happen again. And the next morning it did happen again. The Magid went down to the river and sat and listened. And it happened a few times that the Magid would go to the river. Of course, Kinalach, the Alter Rebbe, was very curious to find out what was going on. And one day, he decided he's going to ask his Rebbe, because he was just so curious to learn, what is his Rebbe doing? Maybe there's something that he could learn from it in his Avodas Hashem. And he asked the Maggid, he says, I know that Bechlal, a student, is not supposed to ask his Rebbe many times why his Rebbe does something, but I'm just so curious, maybe my Rebbe could tell me why you go to the river and you're listening in the morning. I saw you go, I was up early in the morning, and I was just so curious as to why, where you're going, and I followed. I'm not embarrassed, because I was doing it for learning Torah. A person shouldn't be embarrassed to do things for Hashem if he wants to learn about Hashem and his Torah and do mitzvahs. And he told the Maggid that he was there, he was watching, but he wants to know what the Maggid is doing, if the Maggid will tell him. And if it's none of his business, okay. And the Maggid said, I go down to the river in the morning and I'm listening to the frogs. I'm listening to the frogs singing to Hashem. Because the frogs are not just making croaks and noises and frog noises. Every animal, not only every animal, everything that Hashem made in the world has a song that it sings for Hashem. And the song that the frogs sing to Hashem, I was listening to that song, and I was learning from their song how I should daven. Because when a person davens to Hashem, that's their song to Hashem. They're singing the davening to Hashem. They're connecting themselves through davening to Hashem. And the song of the frogs, that's like their davening. And they're singing the song to Hashem. So the Maggid says, I was learning from the frogs and their song different ways of how I should daven better to Hashem. The Kinolach, this is an amazing story. That first of all, everything that Hashem created has a song for Hashem. Everything is connected with Hashem and even sings to Hashem. The Rambam writes, by the way, that even the stars, as they're going around in their orbits and the planets, they're singing a song to Hashem, and each one has a different song. Maybe we can't hear it, but Malachim could hear it, and if we had special ears, we could also hear their song, because they're singing it to Hashem. And the Maggid, a great tzaddik with Ruach HaKodesh, who knew so much Torah and did so many mitzvahs, he held himself so low that he would even go to a frog to learn from a frog. Imagine a person to go to a frog to learn something from a frog. But he knew this is the way to serve Hashem. In everything he saw Hashem. That's the way of a tzaddik. Nothing is too small and nothing is too great. From everything he learns how to serve Hashem. Okay, a long time ago, the Yidden of a certain town, they're getting ready to go to Yerushalayim, and they're getting ready to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Because it was one of the Yamim Tovim, they used to go, the whole Jewish people used to go to Yerushalayim. It was called the Shalosh Regalim, for Pesach, and for Shavuos, and for Sukkos. They used to go to Yerushalayim. And they used to take all kinds of things to Yerushalayim. Special things they used to take to Yerushalayim that the Torah says they have to take. And also they brought different presents to Hashem. Things that they didn't have to take, they wanted to take. They wanted to take presents for Hashem. Karbanos and different things for the Beis HaMikdash. And the people of this town, they were getting ready different presents to give to Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash when they go to Yerushalayim. Some people were bringing silver and some people were bringing gold. And some people were bringing extra karbanos and different things. And there was a very poor man, a great tzaddik, you probably heard his name, Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa. Rabbi Hanina ben Daisa was very, very poor. And he wanted also to give something to Hashem in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, some kind of a special gift. But he was very, very poor. What could he give? In his house, he has a broken down table and broken down chairs, and the whole house is a broken down house. And he doesn't have special silver or gold. And he hardly has any money for his family, even for food and for clothes. But still, he would love to give to Hashem something, a nice present for Hashem to give to the Beis HaMikdash. And so he went for a walk down the road, thinking, what could he, being a poor man, give to Hashem? All of a sudden, in the middle of a field, he sees a very big rock, a big stone. In fact, this was not only a big stone, it was a beautiful stone, a nice stone. And Rabbi Hanina ben Daisa says, this could be used somehow in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is built out of stones. Maybe they could use this for part of the Beis HaMikdash. And he went over to that big, beautiful stone, and he started to make it smooth, and started to make it nice, and started to make it shiny, and make it even more beautiful, bringing out the beautiful color that it was there, and a beautiful kind of stone that was there, but make it shiny and smooth, until it was a beautiful stone for the Beis HaMikdash. But now it's a problem. How will he get this gigantic, heavy, big stone to Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim is far away. Even if it was close, how can you carry a big, huge, heavy stone to Yerushalayim? And so he stood by the stone, thinking to himself, I wish there was some way to get this stone to Yerushalayim. By the way, it was in a hefker field, and the stone was hefker. Nobody owned it. So it was something that he could take. Nobody owned it. He could take it for himself. All of a sudden, coming down the road, he saw five men. Five big men that looked strong. Oh, five big strong men. Wouldn't it be nice if somehow these big five strong men could carry this stone to Yerushalayim? The men came down the road, Rabbi Hanina ben Daisa ran over to them, and he stopped them, and he said, do you see in the field this big gigantic stone? You men look very strong. Do you think you could carry it to Yerushalayim? Well, the men said, that's a big jump. That would have to be at least $50 golden, at least that much money that you'd have to pay us. Each one $10 golden for our job. That's a lot of money, but it's a big job. Well, Rabbi Hanina ben Daisa reached into his pocket, and maybe in there was maybe 5 cents, maybe a little bit more. $50 golden, forget it. This is a poor man you're talking about. Well, they said, we're sorry, can't do it. And the five men left. And Rabbi Hanina ben Daisa went back to his stone, and he was standing there, just looking at it, thinking, oh, I wish I could take it to Yerushalayim. A little while later, again coming down the road are five big, strong-looking men. But not the same ones, different ones. They even looked a little nicer, you know. Well, Rabbi Hanina ben Daisa went over to them, and he asked them, do you see this stone? Do you think you could take it to Yerushalayim for me? Well, that's a big job, you know. He says, well, I'll pay you something. I'll try to pay you some money, whatever I could pay you. I don't have a lot. In my pocket I have 5 cents. Maybe in the house I can get together maybe $5. Do you think you could do it for me? Well, they said, you know what? Okay, you'll give us what you can. You'll give us what you can. We'd like you to do that favor. We see that you would like to take this to Yerushalayim. But you have to help us. You have to help us to carry it to Yerushalayim. Now, Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa was not a young man, and he was not a man that was used to picking up big, heavy rocks. He says, well, I don't know if I could pick up this rock. It's very heavy. They said, look, we are going to lift it up. We are going to carry it. All you have to do is put your little finger on the rock and help us. And then we'll all do it together. You'll put your little finger and you will help us. We'll take it to Yerushalayim. You'll pay us later. Don't worry. We'll trust you for the money. Okay? The five men got around the big stone. Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa put his little finger on the rock. And they counted. Eins, zwei, drei. They picked it up. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa felt himself with the stone going very, very fast. And in a few seconds, and he didn't even know how he got there so fast, he felt himself stopping. He looked up, and they were right in front of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. He was there with a big stone. They got there so fast, in seconds, like they were flying. Look, when Yerushalayim were right in front of the Beis HaMikdash, and he looked around to the men to thank them, and he wants to somehow pay them, he has to get them the money. He looks around, he doesn't see the men. Hey, where are they? So fast they go away. And he started looking for the men, calling after them. And he started going around Yerushalayim looking for the five men. And he asked people if they saw the five men. Did you see five big men? I have to find them. I have to pay them. I owe them. They helped me carry the big stone to Yerushalayim. He looked all around Yerushalayim, and it's very strange. Nobody saw them. And then he went to the Chachamim in the Beis HaMikdash, and he asked them, what should he do? He feels bad. He owes these five men money for a job they did. And he wants to pay them, and he wants to thank them. And he told the men, the Chachamim, the story that happened. And the Chachamim smiled, and they said, Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa, it sounds like these were five malachim from Hashem. Hashem must have sent to you five malachim to help you. Don't worry about the money. You want to put it for tzedakah, is it to hate? But I think that you have five malachim that helped you. They're not going to have too much use for money anyway in the Himmel where they live. There's no money and there's no pockets and there's no banks and there's no place to spend money. So don't worry about it. Now, this is the Maaseh, but there's a very important lesson we learn from the Maaseh. And we've learned it in different ways in other Maaseh too. What do we learn from that Maaseh?
If you try to do a mitzvah, Hashem will help you.
Beautiful. If you try to do a mitzvah and it's hard, you have to do a little bit. Put your little finger. Now, a little finger could mean a little finger. And it could also mean that you try to do whatever you can, even though you think it's just a little bit. If that's the best you can do, you do that. Hashem helps with the rest.